Be seated. Once again, I thank you. You know, that's a hard thing sometimes for us, isn't it? Sometimes saying thank you is the easiest thing in the world, and sometimes it is tough for us, at least for those of us who are human. You know? Anyone here fall in that category? You know, what we tend to do very easy is notice every bump in the road. We notice every slight that we receive. We carry every loss that we suffer. But yet when things go well, we kind of expect that's how it ought to be. And because we expect that's how it ought to be, we tend to move on to the next thing, and we take God's blessings for granted. Last week we talked about being woke, of living with eyes open, of living aware of Christ's presence in our life. Today I want to kind of take that and take that theme to the next step, which is not only to be aware of his presence, not only to have eyes open to the fact that he is with us, but also to have eyes open to his goodness. And the way we begin to do that is to begin to allow our lives to begin to be renewed in the patterns that we walk, so that we become more aware of his goodness. And it's kind of a circle. As we become more aware of his goodness, we begin to become more grateful for that goodness. And as we are more grateful for that goodness, here's the trick. We become more aware of that goodness. Because we're creatures of habit, aren't we? We get into habits, we get into routines, we fall into ruts, and it's easy for us to fall into ruts of not noticing. You know, why is it so easy to take things for granted? I mean, because they're there, right? And because they're there, once they're there, we seem not to almost notice any longer. Why does the scripture, if you read it throughout the Bible, Old Testament, New, constantly remind us to have a thankful heart? What is it about there? What is it about this connection with our forgetfulness, with our taking for grantedness, and this idea of being thankful in the midst? What's the connection? Because I think there is a connection, that it is this idea of being thankful that is essential to our wholeness. Which means being thankful is pretty darn important. That as we live in that mode of being taking for granted, we tend to lose something of our humanness. But if we can live aware, if we can live this eyes open to God's goodness, it changes our world. It changes how we see the world. It changes the way we experience life. It will change the way we understand God, at least at the feeling level. And it will also free us to be a greater source of blessing to others around us. And so our wholeness, when God has given us, it is a key thing for us. Now tell me this, it's easy to take things for granted. I mean, how many of us woke up today and said, I'm alive? Anyone? You're taking for granted again. Dave, yeah, Dave. We do take things, simple things, for granted, don't we? I saw this picture. Jeremy, go ahead and put it up. How many of you woke up like this today? Yeah! Still alive! No? I love those guys. I would like to hang out with them. Like they've got life going on. How about this? How easy it is to take for granted our health. Here you go, Dave. Don't we? We take for granted these things. We wake up in the morning and we have our health. And what do we say? Get out of my way. I got things to do. And maybe they're not the things we want to do. And so our attitude starts to go south. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, we're kind of in a rut. But there is something profound about being aware of how good things are for us. Now, you may say, that's not my problem. I've got plenty of problems. But my taking it for granted ain't one. The reality is, though, that If you're human, it probably is. That's just how we are. And that's what we're going to take a look at today. There's a passage out of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, which begins to talk to this, begins to remind us once again of what it means to take God's blessings at their value, not take them for granted. So in Luke 17, beginning at verse 11, there's a story. And again, this is a unique story only told in the Gospel of Luke. I know we did that back before Easter, but it's still here. And we see this is there's a unique piece of this which is here for us today. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were all cleansed. Before we go on, I want to just touch on this and highlight this fact. That this is a story, again, we read about stories of Jesus healing throughout the New Testament, throughout the Gospels. Talk about this. We read about his cleansing lepers. We read about him casting out demons. We read about him even raising the dead. And sometimes those are placed there to show us his authority, show us his power, show us what he can do, show us, remind us of the fact that he is indeed God, not just some ordinary fellow walking along the road. And sometimes, so the point of the story is the healing, that we would see his power. And sometimes we have stories of his healing where the healing is not the point at all. And that's what we have here today. And you'll see it, because notice the healing. It just kind of happens almost matter-of-factly, doesn't it? Almost like he's taking it for granted. They go, show yourself to the priest, and as they go, they were cleansed. Just, it happened. No big deal. It did. Because what's coming next is really Luke's point, is really Jesus' point for us today when we take a look at this story. So in verse 15, it goes on to say, "Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back, praised God in a loud voice, and he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan." Again, the interesting part of that is this is a typical Luke thing, isn't it? That somehow the outsider in the group is the one who becomes the hero. Luke is the one who doesn't just say there were 10 and one came back. He says, and the one who came back was a Samaritan, the overlooked one, the one who didn't really fit, the one who didn't fit certainly in their categories of what it means to be worthy of being healed. And here he is. So Jesus said, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except for this foreigner?" And then he said to the man who had been previously leprous, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Now again, we see that this is really the point of the story. The point of the story is not so much his power to heal. That's been established throughout the gospel. Now by chapter 17, that part has been established. But Luke is telling the story, and Jesus is interacting with this one individual in a way that reminds us that the main point was not to make him clean of his leprosy, but to highlight that which really is going to make him whole. This is that connection I mentioned at the beginning, that there is a connection between our being grateful. There's a connection to us being woke to God's goodness that begins to make us more whole, more integrated, more complete. And this is what Jesus is getting after here. This is what Luke is telling us the story for, to begin to show us what it is. Now notice that last line. He says, "Go, rise, go, your faith has made you well." What do we know about this man's faith? Anyone? Yes. Okay. He returns with a thankful heart, and it is to God that he is giving praise. So we know that there's something of that connection, but we don't know anything else about him. It's the first time we've ever met him. But there's something about his response which shows the genuineness of his faith. Does that mean the other nine weren't believers? That the other nine didn't have faith? No, but their faith wasn't being revealed because they were not acting in a way that demonstrated their gratitude. And the second thing, when he says that it is this faith that has made you well, again, this reminds us that it's not the leprosy that is the main point here, because all 10 were cleansed. All 10 were cleansed, and yet he is saying, you have been made well. There is something else going on here, that it is this being made well, something about having our thankfulness being triggered, that Jesus could see and would then use as an illustration, this is how it is that we are to be. Not like the other nine, but like this one who shows himself to be thankful. So what keeps us from noticing? What keeps us from being aware? What keeps us from this idea of being like the one who returns and then gets that admonition? Your faith, because of your thankfulness, has made you well or whole. You know, the problem I think for me is often this, that once things begin going well for me, I tend to forget what has happened in the past. That's just part of me. It's part of my failing as a human. I just do that. And that's one of the joys of actually when you have keep a prayer journal or a prayer list of things you're praying for, it's kind of nice to be able to go back, because what I tend to do is I'll pray for something and then things will go well and I'll stop praying about it. Why? Because it's done. It's fixed. I'm moving on. But if you have a prayer journal, you go back and say, what was I praying about last month? And you see this, this, and this. Oh my gosh. Guess what? Those were answered. And it's a reminder for me to be able to go back and say, okay, just because it's not my concern any longer doesn't mean that I shouldn't be thankful for it. Another reason that we often get into trouble with this idea of thankfulness is we're creatures of habit. We're creatures of routine. And we get into the habit of complaint, don't we? We get into the habit of seeing that which is wrong. I can imagine these 10 lepers who were there had a long reason to be complaining. Things weren't going well for them. They were separated from their family. They were sick. They were outcast. They were excluded. They had all this time to complain about all things that had been wrong with them. And in this moment, it's hard sometimes to break that habit of things that we, instead of seeing what we have, we see the things we don't have. I know it's been said, and I'm sure that it's true, that it's easy for us. We have 10 things, 10, 9 can be great, but if the one thing that goes wrong, that's the one that gets our attention, because we just fall that way. We fall that way. Or maybe it's comparison. This is another one that gets in our way. I can imagine the lepers, maybe one of them was going home, realizes that he's now healed, and he sees one of his fellow former lepers going home to a nicer house than the one he has. And all of a sudden, he's not happy anymore. Why does he have that house? Or maybe he, on his way home, he's feeling good because he's cleansed and he gets, oh darn, a Facebook notification. And one of his other former friends is on a nicer vacation than he's ever gone on. And all of a sudden, I'm wishing that I could be in that place. I'm wishing I could be doing that fun. Or maybe I'm wishing I could eat that food. Oh my gosh, that dinner looks so good. And I'm going home to Hamburger Helper. And all of a sudden, I'm not feeling so good about my life anymore. It is something that comes up. It's an envy that gets sparked when we look around and we see what others have. And we have this idea that, boy, if I had what they had, I would finally be happy. But it's a trap. Because when we look at our life, there are many things that should be generating a great sense of thankfulness within us, but because of that envy, we don't see it that way. So how we begin to change those habits is we begin to practice a new habit. And this is going to be called the habit of thanks. That's what I see in this gentleman who comes back. He had to break his old cycle and begin a new cycle. This is how he becomes whole. This is how he becomes healed. Causes us to say, what do I have to be thankful for? Maybe I'm not on that dream vacation. Maybe I don't have that delicious dinner on my table. Maybe I don't live in the nicest house in town. But what do I have to be thankful for? What do I have that I could begin to break my cycle and say, I'm going to give thanks for this in the midst of, maybe even in the midst of the difficulty? You know, in Psalms, and it's all over the place, we are reminded to give thanks to the Lord. Why? Not because I got it all going or I've got the best stuff, but because the Lord is good and his faithful love endures forever. This begins to be part of this theme that I mentioned earlier that begins in the Old Testament, runs all the way through the New. And this is simple, but at the same time, it is very complicated to begin starting a new pattern of how it is that we can live. There's a little couple of lines in your bulletin today. And I would like just to have some time today to begin to think and take stock. Because there's something that happens within us. This is what it means to be made whole. Have you ever met a grateful person who had a sour disposition in life? It doesn't happen. The two don't fit together. But as we become unaware of all that we're grateful for, it's easy for our disposition to darken and to dim. Christ says, I want you to be whole. I want you to be full. I want your life to be full. And he pours blessings into our lives, but if we are not aware, if we're not living woke to what he's doing, then we're going to continue to go in this way that begins to just kind of close down around us. That what we will continue to do are normal habits of noticing every bump in the road, of remembering and carrying every slight, of bearing every loss, and that's all we see. And life becomes small. But like the one leper who came back, Jesus said, your faith has made you well. That's his desire for us, that we would begin to see life and see it the way it is, and begin to live it in the way it is, to receive the gift that it is called to be. So on those three lines, I would like you just take a moment, and if you don't do it now, that's fine, because I'm told all the pencils are dull. Right, Lucille? Yeah. So if you don't do it now, it's okay. Don't complain about the pencils being dull. Just don't do it. Just do it later, okay? We're not trying to reinforce the habit of complaint, okay? But the reality is the pencils aren't sharp, okay? But what are some things that I'm thankful for? I'm not asking you to list the things that are wrong. I'm saying, what are some things that you're thankful for? Or maybe who are some of the people in your life that you're thankful for? Or maybe what it is, the question is going to be, what can I say to God about what he has done in my life? Whether it goes back to the songs we sang today, thank you for the cross, thank you for the cross, thank you for the cross. If that's all it is, then that's a good starting point. If everything else in our life is a mess, but we still have the love of God revealed to us through the cross, that's a good place to begin. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Or maybe it's something a little bit more. Maybe there's things in your life, the stuff you have, the relationships you have. Maybe there are some things in your life, maybe even from your past, things that you have had that have been blessings into your life. And I want to say thanks for those. I would write three things down that you would be on this morning. Say, I'm going to be thankful for these things and I'm going to hold on to these. I saw this up just this week, and I thought, this is exactly what I'm talking about. Maybe my prayer for each day would simply be this. Dear God, today I woke up, I am healthy, and I'm alive. Now, if your prayer can be more than just those three, count yourself as even more fortunate. But if it's only those three, recognize that that is a blessing. and that we want to be able to celebrate and give thanks for that. That's what that's the prayer of that one leper right there. Today, the next day after he came back, I woke up, I'm alive, I'm not a leper anymore. Thank you. That's where it begins. It begins with a thankful heart as we begin to move into this way of saying, as I recognize my blessings, there is something more than that. It's not just to become Pollyanna-like, not just to be somehow saying everything is great, because it's not always great, but we can recognize that even in the midst of the challenges, there is blessings that we need to recognize, because that is part of what keeps us balanced, keeps us whole. So write those things down. If you can't think of them right now, write them down later. If you don't have a pencil that's sharp, write it down later. That's absolutely fine. But I want you to take some time to take stock this week. Not only to live in awareness of Christ's presence, but also his goodness to us. God, we thank you for your goodness in all its various ways. We thank you for the opportunity we have to be called your people, to be received as your children, to be those who have been touched by your grace, have been embraced by your love. We thank you for our lives, for our health, for our jobs or our financial situation that frees us to not be worried about the next meal for the next day. We thank you for the blessings that we have simply by being in this country, by being members of this community, to be a part of this church family. We thank you that we can give you praise for those we have seen around us who have been healed, who have felt your touch, your hand of healing presence. God, enable us to give you thanks. Enable us to say thanks to one another. Enable us to grow in gratitude that we too might be made well. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.